47. As we continue through Ezekiel, finish it up today, we're going to look at chapter 47, 48, and briefly, just a synopsis of the chapters, and then we're going to zero in on a river written about God showing Ezekiel in the days to come. In chapter 47, we're going to, take a closer look. And the first portion of 47 is about the river from God, the river of the temple. The remainder of the chapters about the boundaries of the land. And then in 48, the divisions of the land. And then in verse 1 through 29 talks about the divisions. And then 30 through 34, the gates of the city. Then look in verse 35. Look at the last chapter, the last verse of the book of Ezekiel. 48:35. All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. I like that. Lord Shama. The Lord is there. And the new city, the new temple, when Jesus restores the nation Israel, the rebirth of the nation Israel. But in, look in verse 1, chapter 47, we're going to read, about this river. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. From the front of the temple, for the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. He brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. Came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not cross. It was a river I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river, were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then he said to me, This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglim. They will be places for spreading their nets. The fish will be on this be of the same kinds of the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. Again, Lord, as we continue through your word, open our souls and our hearts and feed us, Lord, by your spirit, that we might grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel's shown this river, the river from the temple. He says that he's, you know, he's seen the source of the river. It was flowing from, you know, the eastern side of the temple, and from the threshold. It was coming up right from underneath the temple, from the threshold of the temple. Interesting, you know, the source of the river, the temple. There's other scriptures, you know, that talk about this river. The Bible tells us, you know, in Joel, a fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord. Zechariah, a fountain shall be opened for the house of David. Another place in Zechariah, living water shall flow from Jerusalem. Notice, turn to the last book of Revelation. There, speaking about a river coming from the temple, but zeroing in even more so the origin or the source of this river. And 22, notice verse 1, the book of Revelation. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Zeroing in, you know, if you follow the scriptures, put them all together. Coming from the temple. Coming from the house of the Lord. Coming from the throne of God. Coming from God Himself, this river flows, this river of life. Pure river of life. The origin, or the point of supply, or the source. You know, last week we looked at, you know, all this restoration. And really, the heart of life and the heart of the restoration of the nation. Turn back in chapter 43 of the book of Ezekiel and look in verse 7. The Lord's speaking to Ezekiel about this new temple, this restoration process. He said, and he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. No more shall the house of Israel defile my holy name, they nor their kings, by their harlotry, or with the carcasses of their kings on their high places. The throne of God, God Himself, His presence, the river of life flowing from His throne, flowing from the mercy seat. And the source of this river spoken of by Ezekiel. And again, you know, that last verse, Lorsh Shama, all the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. How He Himself is the source, the fountainhead of this fountain, of this river of life. I love this, man. This river, whatever it touches, it heals and brings life. God Himself. The source of the river. I heard a sermon by Alan Redpath, and he used such good titles for his points. I'm going to steal. The source, and then the course. The course of the river flow. It flowed eastward. It's interesting when you follow it, because he gives kind of a detail thing, you know, came from the threshold of the temple. Now, the east side was really the front door of the temple. And dab smack in front of the front door of the temple was the altar. And Ezekiel, God showing him the flow and the course of this river coming out from the threshold, then it kind of went over to the south side of the altar, to the right side of the altar. It was flowing from the right side of the temple. And it flowed from the around the altar, south of the altar. Interesting, the altar is mentioned. You know, first Calvary, then Pentecost. Our altar, we know, is the cross. And it's from, we sang that song, you know, I never heard it so clearly this morning. Flows from your hands, flows from your side. Life, that comes from God, touches and heals us. It's interesting. It's via the altar, via the cross, the river of life. Eastwardly flow this river of life. The source of the river, the course of the river, the force of the river. As we follow the movement of the river, it starts as a trickle. You know, you look up the actual Hebrew word, it's just dribbling, it's oozing out a little bit from the bottom of the temple. Interesting, because as this river advances, he says, you know, he has the man take the measurement, 1,000 cubits. That could be, you know, approximately 1,500 feet. But just using, you know, an estimation, say a quarter mile. So he's measuring, comes about a quarter mile easterly, following the river. It's ankle deep. Son of man, Ezekiel's in the river. And he told Ezekiel, remember, take heed. Remember last week as he's giving him this vision, he says, you know, hey, fix your heart, fix your eyes on these things. You know, be observant to understand so that you can communicate to the children of Israel. He's in the river, this river of life, ankle deep. We see as it advances, you know, the river, it kind of progresses, it deepens. But ankle deep, being in the river of life, is kind of indicative of, you know, someone, you know, that's got their salvation, but you got their foot in the water, and yet just ankle deep, you know, not real, kind of a shallow experience with the Lord. Saved, but yet not too deep. Alan Redpath says there's sure a lot of him still being seen, and from the ankle up. But as he goes down, he measures another 1,000 cubits. It could be suggestive of a person that's carnal. I got a lot out of Alan Redpath because he mixed it with his own testimony. Never heard his testimony before. But he said that he became saved, and he was going to school to become an accountant. He didn't really pursue the ministry, you know, the Lord was prompting him, but he kind of pursued the world. And for 7 years, he kind of turned his back, kind of lived in that ankle-deep, shallow experience with the Lord. Well, the guy that led him to the Lord visited him after 7 years and told him, you know, Alan, you could have a saved soul and a wasted life. He says, man, that just hit me like a ton of bricks. And, you know, he didn't automatically go back to church or anything, but he and as a matter of fact, he said he had a party to attend that night. So he went to the party, and the band was, you know, playing the music, and all he heard from the band, the lyrics, save soul, wasted life, save soul, wasted life. The Lord was talking to him and drawing him. But how he, you know, related ankle-deep relationship with God, a shallow relationship. He's just, you know, he's in the river of life, ankle-deep. He measured 1,000 more cubits. He was up to his knees, 1,000 more cubits, or a half a mile to his knees, 3/4 of a mile to his waist, or loins, according to the King James. He's getting deeper. A deeper and deeper in the river of life. Experience with God. Less and less of self-seen. In truth, the more we get into Him, the more He makes Himself known to us. This experience with God, related in the river of life by Ezekiel, through the, you know, measurements and the details of the river of life, flowing from the throne of God, from God Himself. He said he measured another 1,000 cubits, now a mile down the river. Now it's a river. It started as a trickle. It picked up. It's got a current too deep to cross. Kind of lost his footing. his own control of his life. Now he's like boogie boarding down the river, taken up by the current, God's spirit, the river of life. He gives this, illustration to Ezekiel, but it's a literal river in the city of God. Too deep to cross, taken up by God's direction. Life, lean not on your own understanding, but all your ways, acknowledge Him, He'll direct your paths. He'll lead you, He'll guide you. I'll guide you with my eye, He promises. The source, the course, the force. And this was the tough one. I couldn't figure it out. The effects, the results, or the in-force. The effects of the river as Ezekiel takes down, writes what he sees. In verse 8, look at 47, verse 8. The Bible tells us that the river healed whatever it touched. And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Healing. Whatever it reached, the Dead Sea is what it was talking about. The salt sea, the lowest part of the earth, can't support life. And yet, this river of life, bringing life to the Dead Sea, now teeming with fish. Look in verse 9. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river goes, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Whatever the river touched was healed. Whatever the river touched was restored to life, was given life. Now, in context, during the Great Tribulation period, the Bible says when the fourth seal was, loosened, that John the Apostle seen one of the apocalyptic horsemen come out, a pale horse, and he who rode on it, was his name was Death and Hades, and it was given to him to kill or to death over a quarter of mankind. Death over, when you read of the devastation in the book of Revelation during the tribulation period, fish in the sea are killed, the sea life, the death that occurs through the disaster, the pestilence, the famine. That's the world that Jesus comes back to. Now, the Bible says He sets up His presence in the temple and outflows this river of life, and whatever it touches lives. Brings forth life, even into the Dead Sea, teeming with fish now. Whatever the river of life touched, it was healed and it lived. The Bible tells us that there was an exception, for there was some marshes and some swamps that were given over to the salt. Not everything, lived. And, Jeremiah, turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. It's one book to the left, two books to the left. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. As the Lord was, condemning the Israelites for their sin. In verse 13, chapter 2, it said, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Jeremiah gives this illustration that they not only forsook God or turned their back on God, but then they carved out, cisterns in the rock that couldn't even hold water. Living life their own way, according to their own plan, that can't hold water. There were some that didn't live, that didn't accept His way, his life, his river. And the Bible says, you know, the exception of what was given over to Saul, the swamp, the marshland. Ezekiel talking about this river of life. We read this morning, you know, that there's a river, the streams that make glad the city of God, the city of Jerusalem. Whatever it touches, it heals, it restores, it brings joy to. It heals. You know, the application of this is pretty obvious. You know, the source of life is God Himself. The course of life, you know, to go deeper, to stay in the river. And, you know, from ankle to knees to waist, to dive in. You know, I've been praying, man, I need some peace in my life and my schedule, the way things are going. But in truth, you know, I've had the best experience. I love to go underwater. Because when you go underwater, it's like, it's so quiet and there's so much, you know, stillness. And I just love it. With the kids in the pool, we used to go on the bottom of the pool and have a tea party. And I just love to go underwater. But to dive in and to go deeper and go under. My life, the Bible says in Colossians, my life is hidden in Christ, wrapped up in Him, lost in Him, peace. Obvious application, the course of life, the force of life, the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible tells us we're getting ready to go into the book of Luke. We're finished with Ezekiel today. We're going to go back into the Gospel of Luke next Sunday, back into the New Testament. You know, Luke, not Luke Skywalker. Even though, you know, Star Wars has now been recently released in Blu-ray for $80. The Force in Star Wars, you know, the truth of the force of this river of life is the person of God within us. The Bible tells us, you know, the Father. I did a North American Indian wedding yesterday. They had Indian music and Indian customs, and we had a little table we sat at, and me and a couple other of our neighbors and stuff. We were the whites there, the white guys among the Indians. But, you know, the Spirit. Most of them were Christian, but the emphasis, you know, in the ceremony I made upon the Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead, and His person in us, His life within us, the force of this life. In Revelation, the Bible says, at the end, you know, we read that there's this pure river of life flowing from the throne of God. Towards the end of the book, or in the end of the chapter, the Bible says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Let him take and drink of the water of life freely. You know, admonition towards the end of the book of Revelation. Drink up. Live. Not just, you know, to accept him, to go ankle deep, but to go forward. You know, I find there's a place where you get in water. You know, especially when there's a current or, you know, a little riptide or whatever, you get kind of buoyant, you know, and you're kind of like flopping around. It's like you got control, but it's like you don't. You know, the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These things are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. But He's calling us to go deeper. He's calling us to drink up a river of life, to be less seen. Jesus uses that same illustration, you know, the rivers of life. He, talking to the woman at the well, he said, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." It's interesting. You know, Jesus using this same analogy. And then over in chapter 7 in the Gospel of John, he says, you know, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. then out of if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The source, God himself, his spirit within us. The fountainhead, Jesus Christ. The course, you know, his life flow, his way. The power of his spirit, by the power of his spirit. You know, Jesus using the same analogy. It's he himself that gives us life. Ezekiel giving this clear picture of this river of life flowing from the throne of God. And the book Ezekiel, you know, talking about what's yet to come. But Jesus, you know, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, speaks of him being, you know, the source of the fountain, the fountainhead for life, for us. Drink, receive, believe. And then he says, this living water will gush out of you. You know, trickle at first. The process. But gush from you. This fountain, river of life. Let's stand. And we'll pray. The source and the course and the force of the living water. The river of living water. His life, his spirit, his way. He offers. Whoever thirsts, let him come and drink. Lord, we do. We thank you. We thank you for your provision, your salvation. And it's easy, Lord, sometimes to believe you for forgiveness in a shallow experience with you. And Lord, cause us, give us a thirst. If you thirst, let him come to me and drink. Do help us understand, Lord, where our life is, where your plan is for our life, to go deeper, to believe, to accept, to dive in. Lord, we praise you for your word and the promise in your word. And we ask that you have your way in and among and through us. According to your spirit, according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.